Using repetition to teach the listener, advanced edition. This is one of those topics where drum and bass separates the producers who can make a loop from the producers who can make a drop that people remember. Because in DNB, repetition isn't lazy writing. It's listener training. You're literally teaching the brain what the track is about so that later, when you make tiny changes, they feel massive. That's the secret, not constant novelty. Controlled familiarity. Today's goal is specific. You're going to build a 64-bar rolling drop in Ableton Live that stays interesting without changing the core idea. And you'll do it with a hierarchy. One bar is groove grammar, two bars is drum identity, four bars is bass logic, and 8 or 16 bars is your big arrangement statement. Before we write anything, set the session up to support repetition. Set your tempo to somewhere between 172 and 176 BPM. Pick 174 if you don't want to overthink it. Go to Arrangement View and mark three regions, a 16-bar intro, a 16-bar build, and then a 64-bar drop. Even if you're only building the drop today, those markers keep your brain composing like an arranger, not like a loop collector. Now, quick mindset check. Repetition has resolution, not just frequency. Decide what you want the listener to memorize. Is it the kick and snare relationship, the bass rhythm, the hook placement, or a timbral fingerprint, like a particular drum bus crunch? Pick one or two things to protect, because as soon as you start getting clever everywhere, the listener stops learning anything. Let's start with the teacher. The drums. Create a MIDI track, load a drum rack, and name it Drum Score. Load a tight, short kick, then a snare that feels like DNB, usually a clap and snare stack. Maybe a punchy top layer and a weight layer. Add closed hats, rides or shakers, and then one or two ghost elements. A ghost snare, rim, fully tick, something small you can use for micro variation. Now program a two-bar loop. Two bars, not one. Indeed, NB, that two-bar truth is what people lock onto. Put your snare on beats 2 and 4 in each bar. Keep it dead on the grid for now. That's your anchor. For kicks, you're going for a rolling pattern that supports the snare, not a kick solo. Here's a starting example you can copy and then adjust. In bar 1, put kicks on beat 1, then around 1.75, then beat 3. In bar 2, kicks on beat 1, then around 2.5, then 3.5. You're basically creating a push-pull that rolls through the snare hits. Now hats. Do 1/16 hats, but don't make them robotic. Add subtle velocity movements so they breathe. A simple approach is a repeating four-step cycle, like 80, 55, 70, 60. That tiny pattern is already repetition teaching the listener, but at a micro level. At this point, add swing carefully. Go to the groove pool and choose a light shuffle. You're aiming for 10 to 20%, not full-on swagger. Drum and bass needs tightness, so you want feel, not wobble. Now we lock in the drum font. This matters more than people think. If the listener hears the same transient character repeating, their brain relaxes and trusts the groove. So add a simple drum bus chain on your drum group or on the drum rack output. Start with EQ8. High pass around 25 to 30 Hz to clear useless subrumble. If it's boxy, dip gently around 250 to 400 Hz. If you need air, a careful lift around 7 to 10 kHz, but don't turn it into hiss. Then glue compressor. Try 3ms attack. Release on auto ratio 2 to 1, and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. You're not crushing. You're telling the drums to behave like one instrument. Then saturator with soft clip-on. Drive 1 to 4 dB. Again, identity, not destruction. The point is that when this loop repeats 32 times, it still feels like the same character speaking. Okay, your core is now repeatable. Now we add micro variation, without breaking the lesson. Here's a rule that forces taste. One detail per two bars. One noticeable change every two bars, maximum. That means you can repeat constantly and still feel alive, because the surface changes, not the identity. So in bar 2, add a single extra ghost before the snare. In bar 4, maybe a short fill. In bar 6, introduce a ride layer. In bar 8, a crash and re-intro. Notice how we're not fixing boredom with new patterns. We're teaching the same pattern with evolving pronunciation. And here's a coaching tip. Make variations legible by repeating the variation. If you do a cool ghost drag at bar 8, bring that same idea back at bar 16. That turns it from a random moment into vocabulary. Also, use memory anchors on downbeats. If your groove gets busy, protect bar 1 beat 1 and bar 3 beat 1 in every 4-bar phrase. Those are the listener's orientation points. You can get wild around them, but if those downbeats keep shape, the listener never feels lost. Now the bass. This is where a lot of advanced tracks fail, because producers keep rewriting the bass every four bars, and the listener never learns the phrase. Create a MIDI track called bass. Load Waveatable or operator. Let's do a controlled resish rolling bass using Waveatable. Set oscillator 1 to a saw or sawish shape. Oscillator 2 can be a sine for body, or another saw slightly detuned for thickness. Use unison with 2 to 4 voices, but keep the amount low. You want width and movement up top, but don't smear the low end. An auto filter, low pass 24 dB, and add a bit of drive, maybe 2 to 6. Map the cutoff to a macro. That macro becomes your brightness storyline without changing the MIDI. Add saturator, drive maybe 2 to 8 dB depending on the sound. Then EQ 8, high pass 20 to 30 hertz, and if things get muddy, try gentle dip around 150 to 250. Then sidechain compress it from the kick. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 ms. Release 60 to 120 ms. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction. You want the kick to read clearly without your bass sounding like it's gasping. Now write a 4-bar bass phrase. Think call and response. Bars 1 and 2 are your statement. Make the rhythm simple enough that someone could tap it after hearing it twice. Bars 3 and 4 are the answer. A slight twist, but keep the contour and the logic. If bar 1 and 2 are this is the sentence, bar 3 and 4 are same sentence, different ending. And here's the discipline. Repeat that phrase exactly at least 2 or 3 times before you change anything. If you can't stand hearing it repeated, that's a sign the phrase itself isn't strong enough yet. Fix the phrase, not the arrangement. Now add a hook element. In DNB, your hook doesn't have to be melodic. It just has to be recognizable and placed predictably. Create a track called Hook. Use simpler with a stab sample or a resampled chord. Add redux very subtly if you want texture, but don't overcrunch. Add auto filter for motion. Reverb with a decay around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds. And make sure you low cut the reverb somewhere around 300 to 600 hertz so it doesn't wash out your low mids. Then utility to widen the hook, something like 120 to 160%, but keep the low end mono elsewhere. Now the placement rule that makes hooks feel professional. Put the hook on the same spot every 4 bars. For example, on the end of 4 right before the new phrase starts. Do that consistently so the listener learns, ah, this is the signpost. Then, once the listener trusts it, remove it occasionally. And this is important. Removal is a type of repetition too. If the hook always happens every 4 bars, then one time when it doesn't happen, that absence is drama. Silence teaches. Now we arrange the drop. We're going to build in 8-bar blocks. Because that's where DNB momentum lives. Bars 1 to 8. Core drums, bass phrase, minimal hook. Keep it honest. Let the listener learn. Bars 9 to 16. Add a ride layer or extra hat texture. Maybe tiny bass articulation changes, but keep the MIDI phrase the same. Think, same notes, new consonants. You're not changing the sentence, you're changing how it's spoken. Shorter decay, longer sustain, slightly different transient shape. A tiny pitch flick at the start of a note. Same rhythm, new articulation. Bars 17 to 24. Introduce a secondary percussion loop, like a break layer. Keep it supportive. The core 2-bar drum identity still runs the show. Bars 25 to 32. First fake out. Remove the bass for half a bar, then slam it back. If you've trained the listener properly, that half bar feels like the floor disappears. Bars 33 to 48. Repeat the strongest version. This is where crowds lock in. Don't sabotage this section by overdesigning it. Let it hit. Bars 49 to 56. Variation peak. Add fills. Widen the hook. Extra tops. This is where you earn the advanced label by staying controlled. You can push intensity without rewriting the track. Bars 57 to 64. Strip to prepare the transition. Teach the exit. Reduce sub-movement. Pull the hook out. Keep a steady hat grid and clear snare. This is not only musical, it's DJ-friendly. You're creating a repeatable 8-bar handover template. A workflow that keeps you disciplined. Duplicate 8 bars. Then commit to only 3 edits. 3, not 20. That's how you keep the repetition lesson intact. Now let's make repetition feel pro using Ableton automation that loops cleanly. On your bass MIDI clip, use clip envelopes. If you mapped filter cutoff to a macro or directly to auto filter, draw a subtle curve that repeats every 4 bars. Something like 200 hertz up to 800 hertz across the phrase. Keep it subtle. You're creating a repeating evolution, not a new bass. If you're in Live 11 or later, use macro variations. Group your bass effects into an audio effect rack. Map filter cutoff, saturator drive, maybe the dimension or chorus amount if you're using it lightly, and a tiny reverb send if needed. Then create variations like tight, Open, rinse, peek. The magic is you can recall evolving settings without changing the musical phrase. That's repetition with a storyline. Now fills. Fills should teach structure, not distract from it. Place fills at the ends of phrases. Bar 8, 16, 24, 32. Keep them short. A quarter bar or half bar is usually plenty. And repeat the same type of fill twice before you change it. That way, the listener learns the fill too. It becomes a chapter marker. Here's a very Ableton way to do it. Put beat repeat on a return track. Set interval to 1 bar. Grid to 1/16 or 1/32. Chance around 10 to 25%. Then automate the send only at phrase ends. That way, your core remains consistent and your excitement is scheduled. Now, a few advanced upgrades if you want extra movement without breaking the core loop. Try polymeter on a layer, not the whole groove. Keep your main 2-bar drums intact, but add a tiny rim or tick loop that cycles in 3/16 or 5/16. In Ableton, make a 1-bar MIDI clip for that tick, then shorten the clip loop length to something odd like 0.75 bar so it phases against your 2-bar core. The listener still learns the main groove, but they feel this evolving texture on top. Try call and response with negative space. Instead of adding bass notes in bars 3 and 4, remove one hit the listener expects, then answer it with a consistent snare flam or a short noise stab. That creates conversation without extra density. Try rotation edits. Every 16 bars, shift one element by half a bar for 4 to 8 bars, then return it. Shift a top loop earlier by half a bar, or move the hook stab later by half a bar. It creates a big perceived change with minimal new content, and it's very DJ-friendly. Try probability, but make it predictable. Use probability only on tiny events like ghosts or ear candy, and only at phrase ends. For example, on bar 8, 16, 24, 32 positions, set a ghost tick to 30 to 50% probability. The listener learns where surprises can happen, which makes the track feel intentional even when it's random. Now, sound design glue. If you want repeated elements to feel like they belong together, make a shared identity tone. Create an audio effect rock called identity tone. Put EQ8 with a gentle signature move, like a fixed presence bump or a mid scoop. This audio version is shortened for playback.